Come before God in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much that we can just come aside here this evening to meet together like this in your house here, to quieten our hearts before you, to read your word. And we pray, Lord, to hear you speak to us from your word. And we pray tonight, Lord, as we read your word, as we look into it, as we sing these hymns, we pray, Lord, that we may bring praise and glory to our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray this evening that we may worship him this evening. We realise as we come to your word, whatever passage we're looking at, Lord, we really feel we're on holy ground. And right now, Lord, we confess to you our sin before you. Lord, you know we do not love you as we should. And in this, Lord, we sin all the time, Lord. We do not love you as we should, nor do we love each other as we should. And Lord, we confess our sin before you. Pray now, Lord, that as we come to look at your word, that you'll open your word to us and give us understanding of it, we pray. We pray it won't be just an academic study, but we pray as we look into your word that you will warm our hearts, we pray. Lord, we thank you for it. Lord, we thank you that you revealed yourself to us through your word. But most importantly, Lord, you've revealed yourself to us through our Saviour, Lord Jesus Christ. And then, Lord, we pray that you'll be with us and bless us here this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And to read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When we were going on holiday to Yorkshire over Easter, we were travelling up in the car and we were having a think about different ways really to reach Nana while she was in hospital, and we were kind of chatting different things we could do. And one of the things we thought about doing was sending a postcard up. We did initially plan on sending a postcard every day with different texts in it. Well, that didn't quite materialise, but one managed to make its way there. So we had a discussion in the car about what would be a good verse to send. And I think James suggested we could send a verse that said, Jesus loves everybody. I think that was it, James, wasn't it? Okay, and we could think of some verses that was very similar to in the Bible. But one that kept, a passage that came to, you know, we were talking about as we were going up there was Psalm 23. And the reason was we thought it would give Mum an opportunity just to probably speak to Nana and talk it through and say to her, if you're a believer, these are things that will be true for you. Okay? Not going to be true for someone who isn't a believer, but for someone who is, then Mum could say to her, look, and Nana would be familiar with it, she could read it through and say, no, these could be true for you if you're a believer. And I think as you read Psalm 23, there's something about it that makes it extremely special and very precious to us. I'm not going to ask you what that is, but there is something about it that makes it very precious. So that is our first thread. So we're going to hang that thread up here. We're going to come back to that. There's something about this psalm that makes it very precious. And it is to all of us. We read it and there's something about it that we love about Psalm 23. So we're going to leave that thread hanging there and we'll pick it up in a little bit. Right. Things we're going to look at tonight are the names, some names of God. And we're going to look at six of them. There'll be six readings to look at. We all have names. I have a name, Philip James Orchard. You have a name, Bethany. We've all got names. Now, in the past, sometimes other names are added to people's names. You think of Richard I, King of England. He was also known as Richard, and something was added to it, which is the Lionheart. Okay, very good. Okay, Richard the Lionheart. Why do you think he might have been called the Lionheart? What do you think was special about him? The Lionheart.
Brave.
Yeah, brave. Okay, so in battle, he was very brave. So people said he wasn't just Richard the First, he was Richard the Lionheart. That told people something about him. Now, when we come to the Bible, there are lots of names for God. Jehovah, something, which tells us something about God. And we're going to look at six of them this evening. And these are special names for God, Jehovah something. And these are names where God has actually met with man. He's actually intervened in men's lives. I'm not just saying God Almighty, but it's actually talking about names where God's actually moved, come into someone's life, and shown how he actually works in people's lives. And we're going to look at six of them this evening. And what I've given you is a piece of paper, and it might just be handy for you to just keep track of the name, what it means, what the promise is that goes with that. Okay, and we're going to look at six of them this evening. And I'll jot some things down here. So I've kind of particularly done it because I knew that my children were coming. It might be handy for you as well. Right, the first setting. The first thing we come to is Abraham has got a son now, he's got Isaac, and God comes and speaks to Abraham. And God says to Abraham, take your son, your only son Isaac, go into the land of Moriah, and you need to offer Isaac up as a sacrifice to me, as a burnt offering. Imagine that, imagine hearing you've got to offer your son as a burnt sacrifice. Abraham obeys God. He travels for a couple of days with a couple of his servants. Then he leaves his servants. And then Abraham travels just with his son. Now for a sacrifice they needed wood, fire and a knife. So the wood is put on Isaac and they travel up the mountain that God tells him to. Abraham lays the wood on the altar. He lays Isaac on top. He's got the fire with him and he's got the knife. And he's ready to slay his son. And then God speaks. And then we find God speaking to Abraham. Abraham stops. He turns around. Remember, Isaac says, where is the sacrifice? And Abraham says, God will provide the sacrifice. Remember, Abraham turns around and there is the ram caught in the thicket. And he offers that ram up to God. And then after that, we read in Genesis chapter 22. So if we could just turn to this passage. This is the first one we're going to turn to. It's on page 19. We turn to page 19. And if somebody could read, please, Genesis chapter 22 and verse 13, which is and 14, please.
Then Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided.
Okay. So Abraham says, this is the Lord who will provide. The Lord there in capitals is Jehovah. And we have here the name Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. So let's put those two up. So the first is Jehovah. So I think in the first box we've got the name is Jehovah Jireh in the Hebrew, which means the Lord will provide. So in the second box you could put the Lord will provide. That's the name, and that is the name given to God. The Lord will provide, Jehovah, Jireh. Maybe for you, you might think to yourself, well, I'm in need. I'm in need of a job, I'm in need of employment, I'm in need of money, maybe there's financial insecurity. Okay, I don't think any of us are in need of desperate straits of food, but maybe there is a need in your life. Our God is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. We read in Philippians 4 verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ. Or in Matthew 6 verse 31 we've got these words, Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For your heavenly Father knows what you have need of, that you have need of all these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added to you. So Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And so what's the promise? So in the third box, let me just see my... what did I put? What would our testimony be in our lives then? If that's... so our third box, I put outcome in our lives, or what's our testimony going to be if our Lord provides for us? What can we say? Okay, so that's one of the things, how he's provided for us. I think, but in all these things, we can certainly say that there's nothing we'll lack. Okay, there's nothing we're going to be in need of. So I'm going to say that our testimony is we won't, if he's our provider, and that third box we can put, we won't. Second one. That's the first name, Jehovah Jireh. The second one. We come to a setting. The second setting is this. The Israelites have escaped from Egypt. Remember, they're in Egypt in bondage. And they've escaped from Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea. Right, yes. They've crossed the Red Sea. Thank you. They travelled for 3 days. And they've run out of water. This was covered a few weeks ago. They've run out of water. And they come to some water. And they taste the water. And the water is bitter. Remember, the people then complain against God. Why have you brought us out here? They complain against Moses. Why have you brought us out here to kill us in the desert without any water? They taste the water and it's bitter. And what does Moses do? He prays to God. And God says, cut down that tree and put it in the river. And does that, and the river becomes sweet, and the people are able to drink. And then after this, God makes a promise to his people. And this is the promise he makes. If someone can read this, please, if we can all look it up on page 64. So there they are, they've escaped from Egypt. They've tasted this water, the water's bitter. God's heard their prayer and their cries, and the water has now been made sweet. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. Somebody please.
If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you.
Okay, the second name we've got. I am the Lord, Jehovah Rapha, R-A-P-H-A. I am the Lord who heals you. Okay, so our second name. We have got Jehovah. Okay, so we see Lord in capitals. We've got Jehovah, the Lord who heals. Maybe for you. Maybe tonight you feel faint or tired. Perhaps you're hurting in some way. Maybe feeling weak. Maybe that's your need. Maybe you're feeling helpless in a certain situation or physically. Maybe that's your need. God's name is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. What do we read in 3 John verse 2? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Okay, so what do you think about this? So what might be our testimony? Well, I think our testimony would be that we can know his healing. We think something slightly different, but I think it's so we will know his healing and we'll know his restoration. We can know, I'm just jotting it down, his healing. I don't think restoration is talked about restoration and restoration. So, two names so far. Names of God, Jehovah Jireh and Jehovah Rapha. The Lord will provide and the Lord our healer. Third, let me take you somewhere else now. We're going to go into Judah, southern kingdom. And they've departed from God. And this is the time of Jeremiah. And Judah has departed from God. And Jeremiah's prophecy is all about judgment. He's saying, you're under God's judgment. Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians are coming. And Nebuchadnezzar was coming. And there's lots of prophecy in Jeremiah about God's judgment on his people. But he then makes a prophecy, Jeremiah does, looking forward. And this is what he says in Jeremiah 23, verse 5 and 6. If we can turn to that, please. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5 and 6. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5 and 6. This is God speaking through Jeremiah. Somebody read it, please.
Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper, and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name, by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness.
Okay, what a wonderful name. The Lord, our righteousness, which is Jehovah. Yes, so can you? Very good. Okay, so the Lord, our righteousness, Jehovah, so can you? I need to just copy this, make sure I spell it right. Okay. I know we're kind of going through it quite quickly, but I think as we just reflect on these names, I think they're wonderful. Jehovah, so can you? It's great. Actually, after studying this, I found that when I'm praying, it's amazing. You just can't help. You kind of focus on these things. It's wonderful. Jehovah Sikenu, which is the Lord, our righteousness. Now, on Sunday evening with Stan Evers, when he was preaching, he mentioned the fact that Satan often reminds us of our failings and our backslidings and how much we fail God and we sin and how imperfect we are. And I think we all feel it. Okay? When we pray to God, we feel our sinfulness before him, that we fail him. But what can we say to that? What can we say to Satan when he comes to attack us like that? We say, Jehovah, it's Jehovah Sikenu. The Lord is our righteousness. Romans 3 verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. Okay, God's name is Jehovah Sikenu, the Lord, our righteousness. So what's the testimony of those? You have Jehovah Sikenu. I just put, we are clothed in righteousness. I think that's wonderful, isn't it? We are clothed. We are clothed in righteousness. And lots of the things we could add to this, the things you want to say probably about that. We've just got to keep it fairly concise and just keep going with this. So we've got three names and three promises that flow from that. So we've had Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, and Jehovah Sikenu. Lord will provide. The Lord our healer, and the Lord our righteousness. Right. We go back to Israel now, and Israel has been under attack from the Midianites. They've been coming, and they've been attacking. They've been attacking for 7 years. And you see them coming, and they come in on their camels, and they come and attack. And you escape back up to the caves to get away from them, and you're watching them as they come along, and they destroy all the crops, and they come in on their camels. The Bible describes that they come in like locusts. Remember that God raises up Gideon at this point. And the Lord comes and speaks to Gideon and says to Gideon, you are going to be the deliverer to rescue my people. But Gideon is terrified because he realises he's met the angel of the Lord. He realises he's met God. And he feels terrified by this. But then God speaks to Gideon. And if you could read, please, on page 223. Page 223, Judges chapter 6, verse 23 and 24. So I'm going to read Judges chapter 6, verse 23 and 24.
Then the Lord said to him, "Peace be with you. Do not fear, you shall not die." So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord, and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day it is still called Ophrah of the Abedarites.
Thank you. Okay, so that's another one. The Lord, Jehovah, is peace. Jehovah. Thank you, Mark. Very good. Jehovah, Shalom. Wonderful names. And I think for lots of people, we are anxious about things. We're worried about things. There's things that trouble us. Some small things, sometimes very large things. And sometimes it might be a feel like there's a cloud hanging over us. Maybe we're uncertain about the future, or worried about something to do with health or something else in our lives. This is how God is Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. The Lord who gives peace. If we have peace, we will not fear. What does Philippians 4 verse 6 and 7 say? "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So what's the testimony of those whose God is Jehovah Shalom, and the Lord is peace? Absolutely. They know peace. Okay? We can know peace. And as a result, we don't need to be fearful. Okay, that peace brings... we can know peace even in dark times. I think we can learn from that. We can know peace and don't need to fear. So Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Sikenu, Jehovah Shalom. Okay, as I mentioned earlier, Judah had turned their back on God. We're flicking forward again. The people of Judah had turned their back on God, and remember, God sends Nebuchadnezzar to carry them away. And he takes Daniel and his friends. Remember, he kind of picks the best to be to serve in his kingdom. But he also takes a prophet, and he takes the prophet Ezekiel. So Ezekiel was taken into captivity. And in captivity, Ezekiel is prophesying. And he prophesies regarding the restoration of Judah. And in his prophecies, he says the following. If you can turn to it, please. This is Ezekiel prophesying, and he's prophesying from Babylon. Ezekiel 48, verse 35.
"All the way around shall be 18,000 cubits, and the name of the city from that day shall be 'The Lord is there.'"
Okay, the Lord is there. Jehovah Shammah, Shamma, the Lord who is there. Okay, Lord who is there. Maybe you sometimes feel like you're facing situations where it is just you versus them. I don't know what the situation might be. Maybe it is you're actually in a meeting. You feel like it's you trying to put your case up against those people sitting over there. But it is not just you against them. The Lord is there with you. He's there. Maybe sometimes you're going through a difficult situation. You feel like it's just you. You can't tell anybody else. But the Lord is there with you. Maybe tomorrow you're going into a difficult situation. You think, "I can't do that. I can't go there." But the Lord is there. He is there with you. How is he there with us? Well, he's present with us because he's given us a gift of his Holy Spirit with us. In Romans 8 verse 11 we read, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." We have the gift of the Holy Spirit with us. The Lord who is there. Okay, that's the outcome in our lives. That's the blessing that we see in our lives. God is with us. Okay, so all the blessings so far, our testimony is, we won't be in need of anything. We know his healing and restoration. We're clothed in his righteousness. We know peace and don't have to fear, even when life seems very hard. And God is with us. The last one. Let's have a look. Jehovah. Oh, I won't say what it is yet. Okay. Right, they're wandering in the wilderness. We're back in Exodus now. And Moses tells Joshua to lead the people out to fight. And Joshua is going to lead the battle. And Moses is going to be up interceding, up praying. Remember what Moses has got in his hand. He's got the staff of God in his hand, the staff of the Lord in his hand. Okay, and he's interceding on behalf of the people. You know the story, when his arms become tired, the Amalekites prevail. When his arms are held up, the Israelites prevail. And we have Ur on one side, and Aaron on the other side, and Moses sits down, and they hold his hands up, and he's holding up the staff of the Lord in his hands. He's interceding on behalf of the people. And you know that as the day goes on, the Israelites prevail against the Amalekites. And as the sun sets, the battle is theirs. The Lord has answered Moses' prayer. And we read what happens after that in Exodus chapter 17 and verse 15. If somebody could read, maybe 14 and 15, please.
And the Lord said to Moses, write this for memorial in the book, and recount it in the hearing of Joshua. I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner.
Okay, the Lord is my banner. It's the last one we're looking at tonight. The Lord is my banner, which is Jehovah. I don't know how you say it. I'm saying Nissi. Is it Nissi? You don't know. Jehovah Nissi or Jehovah Nissi, which is the Lord is my banner. Should pick up the letter, really, don't we? That is the same. The Lord is my banner. And this is a wonderful name. The Lord is my banner. In those the days we think about here, when people were going out to battle, they used to hold a staff or a stick at the front, kind of a big rod, and they used to have something quite shiny on the end of it. And it's what the army used to actually follow. Used to follow this banner, this kind of tall pole, and that's what the army would be near. In actual fact, if the army was following that, that was actually the safest place. If you're right underneath that tall pole, because that's where your army was kind of congregating around as you were going out to battle. So in actual fact, being close to that meant there would be lots of soldiers there. That's actually a very good place to be. It was a place of safety. I think it's a wonderful name, Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. We're in a spiritual battle, and the safest place we can be is close to the Lord. And he's won the battle for us already. I'm just thinking about in our lives, we're fighting sin and temptation and the devil. Where's the safest place we can be? I know for me, if I'm away from the Lord, then I'm much more prone to fall into sin. The closer to the Lord, how much harder it is. And that's the safest place that we can be. The Lord is my banner. We should be close to the Lord. Romans 8 verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? These wonderful names. And think about it. All these names are where God has actually intervened in the lives of men. Okay, and we'll just quickly... So Jehovah Nissi, God makes us victorious over our enemies. Right, so to conclude, let's turn back to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, it starts off. So Psalm 23 on page 491. The Lord is my shepherd. It's a new name for God. In actual fact, I've read various different places, but one person said it's actually quite a brave name, really, for David to give him. To take, I think the other name is the Lord, my banner. You can kind of understand why I said it. The Lord, my shepherd, that's probably the first time it's mentioned. You know, shepherd, quite a lowly occupation. And here's David saying, the Lord is my shepherd. And he joins those together and makes another name. And I haven't got space in your sheet, and that is Jehovah Raha, R-A-H-A, Jehovah Raha, the Lord is my shepherd. Quite wonderful. In his life and experience, he actually sees that Almighty God is his shepherd. But then David does something else in this psalm. I don't know if any of you have actually picked up what he's actually done. I've just written down, I'll say, here are my notes. It might be similar to what any of you have actually... No, that's all right. my notes. Right, so we have Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Sistenu, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Nissi. The meaning? Here are the outcomes. Now, if you or I are going to write a poem about our testimony of having God as our Heavenly Father, based on his names, our poem might look like this. Jehovah, if I was David, we might start off with, the Lord is my shepherd. We won't be in need or lack anything. We'll know his restoration. He will restore us. We're clothed in righteousness. We don't need to fear, even in dark times. God is with us, and the Lord gives us victory over our enemies. You see what David's actually done. It's quite amazing. He's actually, in his psalm, he's actually picked up all the blessings that we have based on the names that God has been given all through Scripture. Quite wonderful. So in actual fact, on that last, in that last column, if you want to, if you think about it, Jehovah Jireh, what verse do we see that the Lord will provide? Verse 1. So you might want to put down, I will not want. That's where we see that very clearly. Okay, Jehovah Jireh. What about, so in the last column you can add that. The Lord our healer, where do we see that? In Psalm 23.
He restores my soul.
He restores my soul. We can know healing, restoration. Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Sikenu, the Lord our righteousness. And we see it there, don't we? He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is my peace. Where is it, sorry? Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. God is with us. What do we see there? For you are with me. And Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. The Lord gives us victory over our enemies. And look how he puts it. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Wonderful. And I think that's why when we look at this psalm, we think, why is it so wonderful to me? The reason it's so wonderful is, it's jam-packed with the blessings that flow to us from Jehovah. And what is it to really sum up? I think the thing that really strikes home is when we look at John chapter 10, verse 11. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. So all these truths about God, Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. Okay, if you ever actually doubt, if you have the Jehovah Witness ever come to you and say, really, does God ever, Jesus ever say he's God? Well, here in Psalm 23, it's talking about Jehovah. And then Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Jesus says, I will provide. Right. That's time. Heavenly Father, we do thank you once again, Lord, for this opportunity we've had, Lord, of coming into your house this evening, Lord, to read your word, to look into it. Lord, we do feel that we've been on holy ground as we've looked at the attributes of Jehovah. And we pray that your word will really take time to study your word and look into these things more. Lord, we do thank you for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that he said, I am the good shepherd. Lord, because we know that, Lord, he's our righteousness. Lord, that he is our provider. We thank you that in him we have all these blessings. And we know it's not down to us at all, Lord, but it's down to your grace in our lives. And we just thank you for that, Lord. We pray that every day we may, as has been prayed, Lord, that we may be grateful to you for the way that you bestow all these blessings on us. And Lord, we now pray for those who at home alone, Lord, at the moment, Lord, we think of Marjorie and Sylvia and others, Lord, we pray that you'd be with them. And we pray for the coming up barbecue, Lord. And we pray, Lord, as preparations are made for that, Lord, we pray that as the invitations go out, Lord, that you'll bring in, bring many along, Lord, that contacts will be strengthened, and that, Lord, we'll see more coming in here to hear your word. Lord, we thank you for those two that came in on Sunday morning. And we pray, Lord, that If they are not yours, you draw them back again, Lord, to hear your words. Lord, we thank you for the blessings of your ministry that we enjoy here. Lord, may we do take this for granted. Thank you for the ministry of staying on Sunday. And bless him, we pray, in his continued service for you. We now pray, Lord, that you would go with us home to our homes and keep us safe, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.